Welcome to the Indisposable Podcast, produced by Upstream. I'm your host, Brooking Gatewood.
And I'm your co-host, Matt Prindeville.
Thanks for joining for another episode celebrating solutions to plastic pollution.
Hey, what's up, Solutioneers? Welcome back to the Indisposable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Prindeville, and today I'm very excited to have Lime Loop's Ashley Etling on the show. So right now, if you were to order a t-shirt or a sweater from Toad & Co., the checkout screen has an extra button that says reuse. If you choose it, your order is actually going to arrive in a reusable package. And when you take your clothing out, you flip the label around, put the bag back in the mailbox instead of in the trash so that the company can use it again for the next customer. Toad & Co. is the first company to pilot this new packaging system that's been created by Ashley and her co-founder at Lime Loop, Chantal Emmanuel. Lime Loop estimates that each of their lightweight waterproof pouches can be reused as many as 2,000 times, with cleaning and repairs along the way replacing as many boxes or plastic bags, and that this innovation could really completely change how we get products delivered to our homes. So welcome to the podcast, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt, and I think you're hired for our next pitch competition.
That's great. So Ashley, I learned that you're a designer by training with a passion for sustainability, and you're also a serial entrepreneur. What was the first thing that made you realize that design could help save the planet?
It came out of the idea in my last company. We were developing a technology to make it easier to develop products. So we had, in the early days, developed that technology to make it easier for our company to develop products. And as I was doing that, I was shipping a lot and looking for a more sustainable option. And this was probably 10 years ago. And, you know, while there was recycled cardboard and whatnot, still felt there could be a better solution. So ended up having my sister actually whip up this quick kind of reusable shipper. At that time, we had realized that the true value add was actually utilizing this software for enterprise companies to make it easier to develop products. So spent about 10 years developing that. And fast forward 10 years later, I was doing a lot of research on the growth of e-commerce and how it was really going to affect sustainability going forward. And at that point, had ironically came across this old shipper that I had developed in a box. And then my former lead engineer at the company, who is now my co-founder, and we started talking that there's not only problems with sustainability in supply chain, but also gaining visibility. So it kind of came together that if we could not only use shippers over and over again to ship e-commerce products, but also be able to put sensors in those to gain more visibility, then we could also have more optimized transportation, and then we could also decrease inventory loss.
Wow. So I think this is such a relevant topic for right now. I mean, we're still in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know that so many people have gone from, you know, going into stores and buying things to just going online and ordering everything shipped to their house. And I know that for my family, you know, we strive to be more of a zero waste kind of family. And, you know, yet we've been ordering all these things from Amazon. I can't tell you the amount of boxes that are just stacked up in a corner of the house. Yes, these things can be recycled, but you know, we know that a lot of the time that's dependent upon recycling markets and things like that. But still, there's all this filler packaging. There's all the stuff that a lot of it just can't be recycled. And as we've been going out and connecting with folks in the upstream community, this topic has come up a lot. Not just the, you know, what's coming from e-commerce to our homes, but also what's coming from takeout food that's now being delivered to our homes. We used to go out to restaurants. Now we go on Uber Eats and order stuff delivered, and there's just this incredible amount of packaging that's showing up that we're dealing with, a lot of which goes straight in the garbage. So, you know, I'm just curious what the reception has been like from prospective brands, and if there's been new interest with, you know, kind of the COVID packaging fatigue that a lot of folks are experiencing.
Yeah, I think retailers are really looking at it as twofold. Anyone who's doing research on Gen Z is really seeing that the next generation and anyone who's just looking to be smarter in the way they live is just really seeing that they want to put their money and action behind it towards companies who are actually taking a lead sustainably and socially. So we're seeing a shift from that side, but then also with that, brands also realizing that it's not a question of yes or no anymore. It is just, we have to do this. So it's more figuring out not if or when they'll do it, but just how they can do it. You know, Brooks Brothers was, you know, first came about 150 years ago. And so we're talking about supply chains that have been built for 150 years on one model. And while it seems like e-commerce has been around for a while, actually, you know, we're really looking at it, you know, only a couple decades. And with that, before COVID, e-commerce was only 15% of retail. And so when we think of that and then how much growth we're going to continue to see, brands are trying to figure out a solution. And so we're hoping with our technology that we can better optimize those supply chains. So a lot of these retailers, it makes them a lot easier to make these transitions.
Yeah, so let's dig in a little bit more how it works. How does it work from the customer standpoint? And then also, how does it work for the companies that you partner with?
Yeah, so you did a great explanation, but you know, it's really simple from the back end. It's similar to how cardboard or polymailers arrive at a brand's operations facility. And once that happens, the big differentiator is that a return label is placed in the shipper so that when it does arrive at your door and you unpack your jeans, you can just flip this label and leave it for USPS to pick it up. Most people have one at their home, so it makes it really convenient, but also really economical. But we're definitely exploring other options to where, you know, you could go to your local grocery store or retailer and also drop off that package as you walk in.
So I see you've partnered with kind of several eco lifestyle apparel brands like Tote & Co. I mean, can you talk about the partners that you're currently working with and where the opportunities lie for the future?
Yeah, so we're working with primarily apparel companies, but have also expanded into body care and grocery. It was a really excellent way for us to really test the infrastructure of the reusable shippers, how the hardware works within the full system, and where the true value add is with the software and predictive analytics. And then as we continue to scale, we're working on a couple great partnerships with one of the largest retailers in the country on how you actually receive your groceries. We're excited to share that as we go down the road, but we continue to scale in a way to where we hope that any order that you make, you can eventually receive a reusable shipper.
You know, the grocery thing is so big. I mean, we, you know, we went in our household from going to the grocery store, going to the co-op with our reusable bags and doing our best to minimize packaging. And now, you know, we've moved to a curbside pickup model and we have a plastic bag ban in the community. So it's not being packaged in plastic bags, but it's a lot of paper bags and cardboard boxes that are being sent here. And again, in theory, this is all recyclable. But as we know, like these recycling supply chains are long and there are environmental impacts around the recycling of these packaging. And so much of it, you know, is really unnecessary. And these systems are really ripe for disruption. And I think that with this curbside pickup model taking off during COVID, it's like, man, wouldn't it have been great to have Lime Loop reusable systems set up before COVID? But now we've kind of got, I think a lot of people have gotten into this norm now of curbside pickup. And in many ways, you know, my wife and I are like, wow, it's so much easier to just go online and have somebody literally do the shopping for us at the grocery store. But we hate all the extra packaging. So again, that feels like a model that's really ripe for disruption. And I'm wondering if you can, you don't have to talk about the partnership that you may not have inked yet, but could you, is it possible for you to talk a little bit about how you see that playing out for what you would develop and how the consumer could take advantage of it?
Yeah, I mean, really see it being more action-oriented. So you as, you know, the grocery shopper and the customer, you could subscribe to a membership where you only receive reusable packages. And so whether those are dropped off at your home or curbside, they all come in those reusables. Those then once you unload them in your house, then you can leave them for the next time they're either delivering more groceries or when you're going to curbside to drop it off. And with that, we've also been able to provide sensor technology too. So you'll also, if it is left at your front door and you have to go to work for a couple hours, you can monitor your temperature, make sure your goods are still safe, knowing that you may be away for a while.
So this is literally like this is the smart technology future that we're all gradually getting up to speed around. That you know, we've got these, we're carrying around these phones all the time, and these phones can be connected to apps, and which can be connected to sensors and can let us know what's going on with our homes and with the goods and services that we purchase.
Exactly. And one day eventually, you know, robots and drones, and we eventually plug into that as well. But, you know, the ultimate goal is the smarter it is, the more sustainable it is as well. So you have less waste of your groceries, and then also decreased transportation.
You know, I'm curious just about like the value proposition for a consumer brand or an online retailer. Like when you're looking to get new clients, what is the value proposition that you're offering them?
We offer them profit and planet. And we've had that as our goal from the very beginning, so that both can stand in a room. And when the CFO comes into the room, they're sitting there and they're happy with the value add. And when the rest of the sustainability team and corporate responsibility is sitting in the room, they also have achieved their goals.
So tell me about your long-term vision here. I mean, I know you're a serial entrepreneur, you've been at this thing a while now. What is your vision for what the potential of this technology and this company has to offer the world?
Yeah, so it seems ironic, but ultimately, you know, in the next 10 to 20 years, we really see that actually we eliminate packaging altogether. And while we seem like a packaging company, actually look at optimizing technology to really create this more sustainable future. So being able to power autonomous vehicles, drones, and also robots, but ultimately just making it efficient for the way that you receive and send packages back and forth, knowing that we are still in the very early stages of e-commerce and really continuing to develop a really smart, sustainable supply chain for current companies and future companies so they can make it a really easy choice to create these sustainable supply chains as they continue to evolve and even at some points, you know, start from scratch. So we really looked at Line Loop as a way an entry into the market was to be able to provide these reusables. It kind of goes back to those, you know, very, very simple terms we used when we were back in kindergarten, which are the three R's. And the more we can reuse, definitely the better. But the more we can also reduce, that's kind of that next tier. So we look at continuing to strive to that kind of next element of reducing the amount of things we actually use.
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here, Ashley, and I love what you just said there. You know, you mentioned infrastructure, right? One of the analogies that I like to use, and podcast listeners have heard me use this analogy before, but when the founders of Upstream, who are now in their 60s and 70s, who are in college, you know, they literally went dorm room to dorm room collecting newspaper so that they could get enough of it in a garage somewhere to sell it, because, you know, we didn't have the recycling infrastructure that we do today. But you flash forward to today and there's more people that recycle than vote, and we've got recycling across the country. And, you know, I think we're at the early stages of building out the reuse infrastructure. You know, one of the things I also like to say is that when I was a kid, we had one bin. We had the trash bin, and then we added in the recycling bin. And then after that, we added in the composting bin. And in the future, we're going to have the reuse bin. And the goal is to get more stuff out of the trash bin and out of the recycling bin and into that reuse bin. And I was inspired when I heard you say that, you know, the goal or the vision here is really a world without packaging waste. And, you know, I think about what is it going to take to get us there. Amazon is the one that everybody talks about as far as, you know, all this excessive packaging and everything coming to our house. Do you think Amazon is looking at this, and would they consider partnering with your company?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Amazon is one piece of the puzzle. So we're talking still a big chunk of 45-50%. So yes, we are really thrilled to see them, you know, leverage it and use it at some point. And then we're also talking to the other 50%. And I think, you know, I go back to the campaign, Don't Be a Litter Bug, and how effective that was in getting children to express to their parents how important this is. So, you know, I think a lot about, you know, history and what shift we were able to make then, and then how we can also go forward to not only convince brands, but also people at home to really kind of make this bigger change. And I think that's, it's going to take both to meet in the middle, because I don't know if people realize as much, but they also have a lot of pull as consumers in telling their brands what they want. They're listening and they do want that loyalty, so they will make changes based on that. So continue to work towards this. How do we, you know, get the Amazons in the world and all the retailers, but also all the customers to come together to say, we want this different future for our children.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the don't be a litter bug, and how a lot of that emphasis was on what the individual can do. And it's, I'm wondering if we can flip the script, you know, further upstream to look at, you know, the brands themselves and say, hey, don't be waste bugs, you know, don't be generating all this unnecessary packaging. You know, you've got to figure out ways to get people what they want and need without generating all this waste. And to be working with companies like yourselves to do that. And one of the things that, again, excited me about what you were saying, I think that at first glance, one would look at your company and say, oh, they're a reusable packaging company. But what I heard you say is, no, we're a technology and logistics company. We're helping online retailers and online brands really think through how they get their products out to their customers, and to do that in a way that's innovative, that's sustainable, that builds brand loyalty, that gets people excited about this new way of getting their stuff. And I know that, you know, for example, when I told my 13-year-old daughter about this, that piqued her interest in Toad & Company. Like, she wanted to go see, you know, what this company is all about. And I think that as you mentioned, you know, the next generation is really looking for the sustainability attributes for the brands that they're going to support and purchase from. And having, you know, a sustainable packaging system is going to be a differentiator, I think, in this new economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit it right, you know, on key. It is a whole system that needs to be developed. But what we're seeing, and, you know, our hypothesis being confirmed, is that if you do add layers of technology, it actually makes it economical and convenient. And I think those are the two key parts, that if you can make it economical and also then convenient for the brand and the customer, then it becomes, of course, a yes, and then a yes with longevity.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of answered my last question there before we get to the lightning round here. But, you know, what do you think we need to do as a society to get there? Like, what are you needing to help replicate and scale your business?
Yeah, I think it's just taking action. I mean, anyone can fall into habits to make things more convenient, but the more that us as consumers just act based on what our values are, and then also just ask brands for what you want, that makes a big difference, because that shifts the conversation to them being willing to take the time to actually make these shifts a lot quicker versus, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years. So it can accelerate something that probably should have done 10 years ago. So I think, you know, action and ask for what you want, and brands listen. They know that customer loyalty is so important. There's just the great stat that it takes 5 times more money to acquire a new customer versus retain your current customer.
Right,
so I think,
right,
you know, if you always keep that in mind, they want your loyalty, and that's profitability.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. You know, I don't want to get into lightning round here, but I'm also just curious about, are you thinking that it's possible to completely replace the current one-way throwaway disposable model for online retail? Or I'm just curious about where the opportunities lie for your business and for this idea moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, most retailers are seeing 10x growth. And so we haven't seen those full numbers of what we're seeing as the overall picture of what percentage e-commerce is now of retail. But I've seen some loose numbers looking at anywhere from 25 to 30%, which is where China was and, you know, global Asia markets before COVID. So it kind of even shows where we are as an economy as well. But, you know, a lot of retailers say they are just now permanently in their holiday mode. So if you think about all the increase of packages that go back and forth, they're constantly in holiday mode. So trying to figure out how to shift their infrastructure even quicker to optimize, and then also continue to create that more sustainable infrastructure for supply chain So I think, you know, with this growth, brands are definitely looking at how they can make this change. And I think they want to make it. And so we continue to really look at Lime Loop is that solution, not only from a packaging standpoint today, but also from that technology value add as well.
That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. So just a couple of quick lightning round questions here. What's the favorite show you've watched maybe in the last 3 months? And what does this say about you?
Yeah, the Queen's Gambit. One, what it says about me is I don't watch television often, but if I do, I get really caught up in it. And it's usually something like that. And probably like most people end up binge watching it in a couple of nights.
That was one of my favorites. I mean, what an incredible show. So beautiful. Excellent. Yeah, such a beautiful show. I love it. What about what's on replay on your favorite songs or artist lists? And what does that say about you?
Yeah, it depends on the day. But during the day, Van Morrison has been on my playlist. And I think that roots from a passion and love for family and growing up listening to it. And then the evenings, usually jazz. I've been listening to a lot of Bill Evans and actually getting into some symphony music late evening.
Wow, so cool. I was just listening to Ray LaMontagne's new album and was thinking about how much he's like channeling Van Morrison and some of the songs. But yeah, really good stuff. So tell our listeners one thing that you're really excited about in 2021. Can be anything. Doesn't have to be about Lime Loop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about just this collective urge to everyone to work together. And I think that has really excited me, not only personally, but also excited me from a growth of the company and where we're going. And you know, everyone's new kind of found love, passion for sustainability. So really thrilled to see kind of where that brings us, not only as a company, but also just as a society as a whole.
Love it. Hey, what's one thing that our listeners can do to help accelerate the reuse revolution that you're working to bring into existence?
I know I'm repeating myself, but hopefully it helps. But I think the two A's, which is ask and take action. So, you know, ask for what you want and then take action in any way that you can to be a part of that change. It's really going to take everyone to kind of shift a 150-year-old industry to how we really want to see it for our children and just their children and future generations.
That's great. And where can our listeners learn more about you and Lime Loop and what you guys are up to?
Yeah, so they can visit us on our website. That's thelimeloop.com. And then any of our social media handles are the Lime Loop. And then you're always welcome to reach out to us via email. There's a contact form on our website, but you can also reach us at info@thelimeloop.com.
Thanks so much, Ashley. It's been great to have you on the show today.
It's been great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
And that's our show. As always, you can find more about Upstream at upstreamsolutions.org. Stay connected with us on social, and we look forward to catching up with y'all next week. Thanks so much, everybody.